Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
A local professor and banker has retired. What role did he play in one of our communities? Let's go in depth with Rich Glendenning, retired from Central College and Lytton State Bank. So, Rich, you grew up in Lytton, were just telling me. Tell us a little bit about that. Just born there, what?
No. My grandfather was a banker in that town. And my dad, when I was born, was working for International Harvester in Moline. And when Grandpa died, then the board members asked Dad to come in and replace Grandpa. Didn't exactly replace him because there was another man, Harold DeBrine, who was the already working for the bank, was named cashier, and then Dad was named the assistant cashier. And that happened in 47, so I was about six at the time.
Okay, and so how did you transition to a role at the bank?
That came about, Dad retired in 78, and a guy by the name of Jerry Free came in and replaced him as the CEO of the bank, let me express it that way. And then Dad died about 6 years later, 85. And then in February of 86, the annual meeting, they elected me onto the board. And so I've been on the board ever since that time. But I was just an ordinary board member for 9 years, because Jerry Free was the chairman of the board at that time.
Okay, and if I'm remembering correctly, you were teaching at Central College.
I had a career there, 40 years, teaching economics.
You had this family background in banking. You went and taught economics, but you were always interested in banking, I presume, serving on the board, etc.?
Yeah. When I was about 20, Dad said to me, he says, and I was probably about a sophomore in college or so, he said to me, don't count on, after you graduate from Central, to be able to get a job here. This bank is going to will only support about two families. It will not support a third. So you're going to have to go out and get another job. A professor of mine at that time said, Rich, why don't you go on to graduate school? And I enjoyed studying, so I did that. And so I went to the University of Wisconsin-Madison, got a master's degree in economics. And at that time, Central was having difficulty recruiting faculty because colleges and universities were growing so rapidly. And so they were going out and looking at their graduates, seeing what they were doing, if they could hire back. So I was part of that process. So in 1966, I began as an assistant professor of economics at Central.
More in depth after this.
Continued my conversation with Rich Glendenning, retired from Central College and Lytton State Bank. Tell us a little bit about what the board of a bank does and what you saw your role as a member of the board and then chairman of the board.
The board of the bank sets direction. It evaluates the management, the upper management particularly, and hires, sometimes fires, people in those positions. That's the primary responsibility. We are also to oversee the bank in the sense of making sure that proper procedures are going on within the bank. We're legally responsible for that. So we depend on other people to see that. But if something's going wrong here and the state discovers it, then the board's going to get called in and said, why aren't you fulfilling your responsibilities at that point?
Do you think your background in economics helped?
It gave me a very general idea of what a bank was about and how it fit into the economy. But as for the nuts and bolts of what goes on here, no. Uh-uh. I, as an economist, I would not be a very good loan officer. I wouldn't necessarily make a good person to go out and seek deposits. I wouldn't necessarily know how to do the operations of the bank. I had a theoretical view of the bank, but not a practical view of the bank.
But surely that helped you see the big picture in terms of the economy, et cetera.
Oh, yeah.
And so that brought that kind of expertise. There were other people that know how to make the bank work.
Right, yeah.
So your background, like seeing the big picture, had to help with direction, I presume.
Yeah, I think I did there. In some ways, this bank is sufficiently small. It just kind of rides along. You know, it's in the recession of 2008, 2009, we weren't so, at that point, not so much governed by what was happening in the national economy, but what was happening locally. And the this community continued to grow, and this bank continued to grow. Later, 13, 14, somewhere in there, the farm economy got wasn't so good. Steve knows, our president knows a lot more about farming than I do. And then we had to be very careful, and that had an impact on our profits.
What are some of the big transitions over the years that you've been a part of? Say ones that you're proud of and... Well, I don't know, share mistakes if you
okay.
like it.
Well, in a way, I changed the trajectory of the bank. The bank under my father, under Jerry Free, was in Lytton. We had a single building there, and the bank was declining in terms of its assets, in terms of its deposits. It was just doing less business, in part because the farms were getting larger. They needed to go to banks that were larger than what the Lytton Bank was. The Lytton community was losing its small town community aspect because we're losing stores in that town. And I'm not responsible for it in a sense, but about a month after I became chairman of the board, a fellow from a Des Moines bank that we had doing business with came down and visited with me. He wanted to see what was going on with this bank. And towards the end of the conversation, he said, "Rich, you ought to take your bank to Pella." And I thought that was a good idea. And so I brought it to the board. We had a change in the CEO at that time. We hired a new CEO in the interviewing. And this is Bill Bruxwert then, who came into the bank. In interviewing with him, we said, "Well, we'd like to take the bank to Pella." And in a year and a half, we were in Pella. At that time, we were in a house on Liberty Street, kind of behind where Subway is. And about a year or two, we outgrew that. Pella was very kind to us at this point. I mean, and so I think Steve said to Bill Bruxford, he said, "We got to get out of this building." Bill said to me, "We got to do something else. We got to get out of this building. We already had purchased part of this property." And so in 1999, we started the first structure here. And had that built, and then we grew some more, and then about 2015 we had to enlarge it. So I was all part of, you know, that process. Another process I wasn't so much a part of, but just a difference in banking. In 1995, this bank owned no computers, absolutely none. And that was partly Jerry Free. And Bill brought the first computers. Of course, the board had to more or less approve of that. And we started using computers. We switched all our bookkeeping, all our taking track of accounts and all that stuff onto the computer. And now everyone around here has a computer in front of them. So there's a dramatic change in the in how the bank operated. I didn't particularly push that. I mean, it was the bank management wanted to go in that, but I said, yes, do it.
More in depth after this.
Continued my conversation with Rich Glendenning, retired from Central College and Lytton State Bank. Now, you mentioned some difficult times before. Now we're in a different kind of difficult times with COVID-19. The impact on the economy, it has to be impacting banks. But given your experience, your vision, can you see into the future what banks need to be prepared for, and what our communities need to be prepared for, and how we all can help us get through this
time? I'm not a fortune teller.
You have to be thinking about it.
Oh, yes. Well, COVID-19 and the process we had here was helped by the government putting together this PPP loan, which supported our local businesses. And Steve can give you an idea as to how many businesses and what the amount of money we had out there lent to these businesses. And this happened late February and through the month of April. The government said that the banks were to get a 5% premium on that, and but if the loan were to go beyond the say a portion of that loan was not covered by what was forgiven by the federal government, then they were to be 1% loans for another 2 years. And my guess is we have very few of those going forward. So essentially, we had 5% loans out there, and that treated us pretty well. Now, I think it's going to be tougher because these businesses aren't going to have that financial gift, in a sense, going forward. And I'm not sure that we're back there, going back to these businesses in the same way that we've done in the past. Now, Pella may be a little different, because when I drive downtown Pella, there's a lot of people in downtown Pella during the day. It's as if during the month of April, people got locked in their homes and now they just want to get out, and Pella is a convenient place to go. So this town's been quite busy, and I think going forward, I think this town may be better off than some. The other part of it is that agriculture is hurting. China has quit buying soybeans. The price of soybeans went down. The price of oil went down because we weren't driving. That meant our ethanol plants closed. We weren't selling much corn either to China, other countries, or into ethanol. So the price of corn is going down. And then with the problem with the meat markets and meat packing companies, farmers weren't getting the prices for the cattle and the hogs that they had. And then, you know, I doubt if what we've seen in the restaurant industry, if that's come back like it was before. So certain cuts of beef, for instance, are not being purchased like they once were. And so we're seeing beef prices, we're seeing hog prices lower, and that's probably putting our farmers into a tough position. They may not realize that until this fall when they start trying to sell their crops or later on. So as a bank, we've been preparing for that. We've just been setting more of our profits aside, putting loan loss reserves, so that in case if our borrowers do come into problems and we have to write off some of that, that we have these reserves there that will protect the bank when those losses occur.
Well, the day this interview is taking place, it's your last day after all these years. You're turning in your key.
Yeah. You gotta do that.
Any last reflections you'd like to share?
Well, I've really enjoyed, I've really appreciated the experience I've had with this bank. My wife will tell you it's been a highlight of my life, beginning before the time that I retired, because in 95 I was still working in Central and I became president of this bank, I became chairman of the board of the bank. And then that I retired in 2006 from Central, and that just carried on through. I had some other things going on as a retiree, but this carried on beyond them. I look forward to banking in the future, but I'm going to miss it. Yeah. My daughter succeeded me on the board of the holding company, and I'm pleased that that can happen. She's going to be a fifth generation of my family that's been associated with this bank. So that's quite a tradition in our family.
Thanks to Rich Glendening for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.